We're delighted to be back with you. I know I speak for Mindy, my wife. It's a joy. We love this congregation, thankful for you. Known many of you a long, long time, haven't we? Many, many years. Go way back. And as Brother John said, he and I have been friends a long time. Dear friend, close friend. We both, as you know, heard the gospel. Learned the gospel from Henry Mahan. He was our pastor, and we sat under him for many years. That was a good time, wasn't it, John? Learned from him, and it's amazing. The Lord's providence called John to be a pastor, me and other men. But I'm thankful for John and Vicki. What a fine pastor's wife she is. But I told Mindy just yesterday, the day before, I was talking about Brother John. We grew up and listened to Henry Mahan and learned from him. And I told her that I don't know of another man who learned more from developed the same. This is the highest compliment. Developed the same manners and methods and message and way of preaching from Henry Mahan than John Chapman. I mean that. There's some people here will attest to that. And that's not flattery. That's just fact. And that's just a high commendation. A high commendation. I could sit right here and he'd be my pastor. And we see eye to eye, don't we? We've just been friends a long time, and I don't ever recall us having any disagreement on anything. That's amazing. It really is. I'm thankful for you. Go with me to Galatians chapter 1, the book of Galatians. Tonight, Lord willing, and again in the morning, Lord willing, I want to bring two very plain, clear messages from God's Word. Familiar scriptures just tonight, Galatians 1, and in the morning, Lord willing, Ephesians 1. These are epistles or letters to the church. And I look around this room and I see mostly the church assembled here Friday night, probably again Saturday morning. Some of our folks, Lord willing, are coming tomorrow morning. But these are epistles to the church. These are addressed to God's people. And that's who I want to focus on tonight. I want to bring you a message tonight entitled The Certified Gospel versus the Perverted Gospel. And I'm not being clever, that's scriptural. Okay, look at Galatians 1 with me. Where do we begin? He said in verse 6, I marvel that you're so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ. He just described the gospel, didn't he? He just defined the gospel, the sovereign grace of God in Jesus Christ. Unto another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ, a perverted gospel. Read on. Whether we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any preach any other gospel unto you than that you have received. And same here. You hear the gospel, don't you? You've heard it many, many years. What a blessing. It's the greatest blessing conferred on man is to have the gospel, the preacher of the gospel. It really is. You've heard this and you've received it. You've received it. If you've received it, that means you were born of God, received the love of the truth. But go on and read with me. It says, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Am I seeking my own glory or to the accolades of men, or am I trying to please and glorify my Lord? Do I seek to please men? If I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren. I certify you, brethren, the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it by men, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What he's saying is the gospel I preach is the certified gospel. And there's another gospel out there. It's not the gospel. It's not the gospel. It's a perversion of the gospel. Now, when you certify something, you have a certificate of authenticity. Okay, that certifies, that declares it to be authentic, the real thing. And it's usually signed, documented, guaranteed. And something certified, that means it's guaranteed. Well, the gospel, Paul said, the gospel I preach, and you preach, don't you, Brother John? Same gospel. This gospel is certified by the Word of God. This is guaranteed. This is the gospel that's guaranteed to be the gospel because we have God's Word on it. All the promises of God are yea and amen, and all in Christ. And the salvation of God's people, salvation is of the Lord, His blessings upon His people. And the salvation of God's people through this preaching of the gospel, through what Christ did, is guaranteed. There's no possibility of failure because it's God's gospel, and it's the gospel we preach. We don't preach an offer to men. We don't preach an attempt. We don't preach a gospel that leaves it in the hands of men at all. We preach the gospel of God. Now, all right, the gospel means good news. That's what it means. And the gospel is of who God is. It begins with God. The good news begins with God. The gospel is God's design, God's purpose in it. It's what God thought it. This is what our pastor used to say, the three things. God thought it, Christ bought it, Holy Spirit brought it. All right? It's the gospel of God. It's the gospel of God's Son. It's the gospel of the Holy Spirit that brings it in the preaching of the gospel. Okay? So it's God's gospel. That's the way Romans 1 begins, doesn't it? Paul said, I'm sold out. I'm to the gospel of God concerning His Son, declared to be the Son of God with power. It's God's gospel. All right? Very simply, I'm going to compare this perverted gospel with the gospel. Okay? I'm going to begin with the perversion of the gospel. What men say about the gospel. What men have made up. Because they don't get it from God's Word. They make it up out of their imagination. You hear these things all the time. This is all you hear in religion today. I'm going to begin with the perversion, Bill. Okay? And then I'm going to tell you the certified gospel. The true gospel. Because you're going to see how much better the gospel is. How much better. All right? The world, it begins with God. The world and religion is the word. The world believes in a God who's not God. He wants to be God. He'll be God if you let Him be God. Well, that's impossible. He can't be God if you let Him be God. Right? The name God means all-powerful, sovereign, ruler, creator of all things. Most of the world says there is no God. Well, that's foolishness, isn't it? Fool has said that. But religion says that God is just a bystander in the affairs of men. He's a bystander. If He did create the world, He created it and then He stepped back to see how it's going to turn out. Isn't that what men say? That he's standing on the outside and now He's created all this and He's hoping everything turns out all right. That's not the God of the Bible. Turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32. I'm going to show you from God's Word what He said through His prophet and of Himself. Deuteronomy 32. Our God is God. He's not trying to be God. He is God. Our God is absolutely sovereign. The God of the Bible, the God over all the earth, is God. He reigns and rules. He's God over. He's a creator. He's a God over providence. Every single thing that happens in this universe, from a particle of dust in the sunshine coming through the window where it will land, is ordained by God. You believe that? Controlled by, you believe that? You know, atom bomb is a unseen thing that if it's split, it blows us all up. Every germ is controlled by God. You believe that? That's what this book says. If there's anything outside of God's control, He's not God. It's bad news. Why would anybody want a God who's a bystander? What do you need? What good news is there if God's not reigning and ruling? What good news is there? Huh? That's bad news. I mean, we all fending for ourselves, aren't we? No, that's not the God of the Bible. Deuteronomy 32, look at verse 39. See now, my dad from Alabama, and whatever he said now, see here. Greg, I'd sit up. I better be listening. Now, see here. Are you men that were in the army, huh? Now, see here. I am He. There is no God. See that small g? There's no small God. There's nobody controlling anything. Anything with me. I kill. Boy, this is comforting. Everybody's afraid of dying right now. They're afraid of this and afraid of that. It's going to kill them. Things don't kill us. Is that what he said? He said, I kill. He might use a means, he might not. But he's the one. Is that what he said? That's so comforting. That's so comforting. I kill, I make alive. I wound, get sick. Anybody get sick? God said it. People worry about giving this person, giving that person advice. You give yourself too much power. God says, I wound. I heal. Doctors, he might use doctors, he might not. But I tell you who does the healing. It's not the doctor, it's not the medicine, it's God. He's going to get the glory. This is comforting. This is comforting. Whether you use the means or don't use the means, it's the Lord. It's the Lord. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. Oh, my. That's the hand of judgment or the hand of salvation. That's good news, isn't it? My times, David said, are in thy hands. Oh, my God, that's where I want them to be. Listen to Daniel. Go over to the book of Daniel. I want you to turn to some scriptures with me, okay? Let's see what the Lord says about himself, what the prophets say about our God, who is God. Daniel chapter 4. Daniel chapter 4. And we just read in Isaiah 43, John said, when he passed through the fire or the waters, I'll be with you, or the lion's den. Daniel knows. God put him there. And God was with him. Daniel chapter 4, look at this. Listen to this. This is so relevant. Verse 17. Daniel 4:17. Now this matter, talking about everything that is to be, is by the decree of the watchers. That is God's word, God's prophets. They've already declared God's decree. And the demand by the word of the Holy One, to the intent that the living, that's us, everybody, may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. That's God. He worketh all things, Ephesians 1:11 says, at the counsel of his will. Man doesn't have free will. No. God's will alone is free. And he's doing according to his will and the armies of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. Everything, everyone is working according to his will. The lot is cast into the lap. This is what I'm going to do. But the whole disposing is of the Lord. That's Proverbs 16. That's the God of the Bible. This is God who is God. And look at this, the last part of that line, verse 17. And he setteth up over the kingdom of man, he setteth up over it the basest of men. God has always put in judgment to a decadent, sinful society like Israel of old, he put bad men over them as judgment upon them, didn't it? We don't elect officials. No. God does. He puts them there. That's so comforting. That's so comforting. I've lived through, I don't know how many presidents we lived through. 10, 11 or more, 12, whatever. We're okay, aren't we, buddy? God setteth up. God casteth down. That's what Hannah's prayer was. Same thing. She prayed the same thing. Look at this same chapter, verse 34. Nebuchadnezzar found out. Oh, he thought he was in control. Nebuchadnezzar, he found out. And Nebuchadnezzar, verse 34 of Daniel 4 said, I lifted up my eyes to heaven and my understanding returned unto me. Man's understanding is darkened, isn't it? When he gives you an understanding, you'll know who God is. And I bless the Most High and I praise and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, his kingdom from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. He doeth according to his will in the army of heaven among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? None can do it. I started to have you turn to Isaiah 45. He said, I make peace, I create evil. I, the Lord, do all these things. Isaiah 43, I will work and who will stop me? God is the potter and we're the clay. Clay has no say. Clay is inanimate mud. What can clay do? Romans 9, I started to have you turn there. But I've got 1,000 verses of scriptures to give you. The perverted gospel's got none. It's imagination, man's imagination. This way I think God is. Who needs a God like that? Who needs a God that's not in control? You better run to the hills. All right, what does the Word of God say about man? Well, let me say this. Turn with me to Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. We talk about man. This is what they say about God. They say God loves everybody. Oh, how he loves everybody. And nowhere in the Bible does it say that. They say Jesus loves you. You see these signs everywhere. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Nowhere in this book does it say that. Nowhere. Nowhere. You know how many times, how often our Lord was surrounded by thousands and thousands and multitude of people everywhere. You ever thought about this? If he loved everybody, he was always surrounded by, he never one time ever said to a crowd of people, I love you. Never. Why didn't he? Because he doesn't. He loves his people. He loves God's people. That's who he loves. He doesn't love everybody. Look at Malachi 1. The burden of the word of the Lord to Israel by Malachi. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Who's he talking to? We need to know who the Lord is talking to. Israel, his chosen people that represent his true people. I have loved you, saith the Lord. Yet ye say, wherein hast thou loved us? How have you loved us? How's your love different? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, saith the Lord, yet I loved Jacob and I hated Esau. That's what it says, doesn't it? That's what God says. I love Jacob and I hate Esau. Is that what it said? Do I need to say any more about that? Do I need to clarify that? That's what God says. Psalm 5:5. He hatest all workers of iniquity. Proverbs 6. Six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are abomination. He's talking about people. Psalm 11:7. God is angry with the wicked every day. That's what the scripture said. I saw a sign coming back. We were coming back from Madisonville, Kentucky. And the sign said, and this is religion, Southern Baptist or something. It says, God's not mad at you. That's a direct opposite of what God says in Psalms. God is angry with the wicked every day. Now, that's the God of the Bible. And I'm going to show you in a minute why God is not angry with us. This is the good news. This is the gospel. All right, what about man? What about man? Here's what the perverted gospel said, that man has a free will. Note, man has a free will. Man must decide. Man must choose God. Man must accept this offer that God makes, they say. Man must let go and let God. Man must cooperate. Essentially what they're saying is, man, you must save yourself. That's what he's saying. That Jesus made salvation possible. He laid down a down payment, and your faith, your acceptance, makes it acceptable. That's not even close to the gospel. In fact, that's blasphemy, isn't it? Blasphemy. That's a perversion of the gospel. Man doesn't have a free will. Man is dead in trespass and sin. Dead. Barnard used to say, graveyard dead. Can't get any more dead than that, can you? All right, in the garden. This is when this happened. What happened in the garden? I bet your pastors preach this. Three vital questions. What happened in the garden? What happened on the cross? And what happened when God saves a sinner? Now, I know you preach that. What happened in the garden? What happened to man? What did God say? He said, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. In the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. Did he say that, Calvin? Die. Satan came along to a woman. Religion is dominated by women. Satan came along to the woman and said, first he asked to question God's word. Hath God said, did he really mean that? Is he keeping something back from you? That's what he said. And then he flat out denied the word of God. He said, you shall not surely die. Didn't he? Flat out. Then he twisted and perverted it completely. You'll be as gods. You have free will. Make your choice. Who is God to violate your free will? Make your choice. What did he choose? What did he choose? Well, Adam chose evil, didn't he? And that day he died. We died in Adam. In Adam, all die. We died. Adam didn't die physically that day, but he died spiritually, didn't he? His will died. His will became corrupt through and through. Everything from then on, he's not going to choose good over evil. He's always going to choose evil. His will can't choose good. His mind was corrupted. His heart was dark. His understanding was dark. Before he enjoyed God. Now he's running from him. Believed lies? He died. Man died that day, didn't it? Dead. And now the scripture said, listen to this. Psalm 14, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men. Listen to this. And this is, Paul wrote this in Romans 3. He said, the Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand, any that did seek God. He said, they're all gone aside. Every one of them. They're all together become filthy. What's the word filthy mean? Corrupt. Stinking. That's what it said. A stench. Rotten flesh. Dead. Dead flesh is obnoxious in it. That's what man has become by nature. None that doeth good, no, not one. That's what God's word said. Dead. Most of you have heard the story of Ezekiel in chapter 37, where the Lord put Ezekiel in the valley of dry bones. And said, well, there are many, many dry bones, and they were very dry, meaning they would have been dead a long time. A long time. And the Lord asked the prophet then, can these dry bones live? You tell me. Looking at a valley of dry bones. And that's what God sees when he sees this world. Dead sinner. Okay. Can these bones live? Not with man. It's impossible. It's impossible. They can't decide, they're dead. They can't hear, they're dead. They can't call, they're dead. Can they? They can't come, they're dead. Isn't that what Scripture says? You cannot, no man can come except the Father which has sent me draw. And you will not come unto me. Having ears, they hear not. Having eyes, they see not. Heart is hardened. What's it going to take? With man, it's impossible. There's no gospel. There's no good news in if you will, if you will, if you will. Because we will not. We cannot. There's no good news in that. Did you notice with me, as John was reading in Isaiah 43, he said, I have, I have redeemed, I have called, I will be with thee, it shall not overflow thee, the flame shall not kindle upon thee, for I am. He said, I have declared, I have saved, I have showed. I have, I will, I am. That's the certainty. That's a certified gospel. Certainty. Because God is God. Man's dead. He's dead. When the Lord talked to a Pharisee named Nicodemus one time, now he knew the Bible, he thought. He knew the letter. He had no spirit, had no life. He was dead. And he wanted to ask all sorts of questions. He didn't understand anything, did he, Doug? Nicodemus didn't understand anything. He could probably quote the whole Old Testament. He didn't understand any of it. Standing right in front of him was the Christ of Scripture. Standing in front of him was the Word personified, the Word made flesh, and he didn't know it. God standing in front of him, he didn't know him. Why? He's dead. And you know what the Lord said to him? You must be born again. End of the argument. Born from above. You're dead. You must be given life. And God alone. He says, I kill, I make alive. Man's dead. All right? What about Jesus Christ? Who is Jesus Christ? Why did he come? Why did he come? What did he do? What did he do? Who did he do it for? Did he do it? Where is he now? This is the gospel. The good news of who Christ is and why he came and who he did it for, what he did, where he is now. This is the gospel. He is the gospel. Christ is the gospel. It's the gospel of God's dear Son. All right, the world says he's just a man. That's what they said when he came, didn't it? You're just a man. You make yourself to be God. Got it all wrong, don't they? Got it backwards like they have everything. They've got man as a God and God like a man, all right? The fact of the matter is he was God before he came to this earth and he made himself a man. God was manifest in the flesh. Great is the mystery, but it's without controversy. It's a fact. God was manifest in the flesh. Isaiah 7 says, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, call his name Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. Isaiah 9, call his name Wonderful Counselor. Say it. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. That babe in Mary's arms was really her father, her Heavenly Father. Say, I don't understand that. I don't either. But I believe it. Like Spurgeon said, if he's really God, you can't understand. You don't want a God you can understand. That means he's just like you. He's infinitely, his ways past finding out. That one who came is the God-man, the creator of all things. That's what Colossians 2 says. By him are all things created. That's what John 1 said. The Word was with God, the Word was God, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus Christ is God, not just the Son of God. He's God, equal with the Father, the creator, the sovereign, the ruler. But this perverted gospel says that he's just a man. He's a gifted man. He's a talented man. He's a miracle worker. No, God's people know. How do they know? How do they know? The revelation of Jesus Christ. Paul said that in Galatians 1. I didn't get this from man. Paul thought he was going to put an end to this Jesus of Nazareth, didn't he? He was going after him. I'm gonna put an end to this Jesus of Nazareth stuff. This cult named these followers of Jesus of Nazareth, Saul of Tarsus. Yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna go down there. I'm gonna do this. I'm gonna do that. And he got on his high horse, Tommy, and he went. I'm gonna put an end to this business. Boy, he met the Lord Jesus Christ, didn't he? The Lord Jesus Christ put him all in the dust at his feet. Said, now who are you gonna put an end to? You're in my hand. I can crush you right now. He revealed himself to him as the God in whose hands his breath is and all his way. Paul thought he had a free will, didn't he? You know what the first thing he said was, Tommy? Lord, what wilt thou have me do? What are you going to do with me? See, this is eternal life. John 17:3. Our Lord said that. This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. True worshipers worship God as God. They believe God is God. They worship His Son. They're glad He is. It's not just believing doctrine. It's knowing God. Coming into a relationship with Him. And he makes Himself known to you. Knowing Christ. And you're not only just believing. You love Him as God. You're so thankful. It's good news that our God reigns in it. Good news. And dead people don't believe that. Those born again do. And to believe Christ, to know Christ, love His salvation, to love the truth, oh, be born again. Here's what the perverted gospel said, that Christ died for everybody. He died as a martyr at the hands of men. He died for all. He made salvation possible. He made an offer to you. Jesus died to make an offer. He's offering you peace if you'll accept it. It's hard not to holler in it, John, sometimes. It's hard. That's not just error. That's heresy. That's blasphemy. Christ, Jesus Christ didn't come down here to make an offer to men. Are you kidding me? We've offended a holy God. We've offended a holy God. Can you imagine going before the judge and you're guilty of murder and theft and all that, and standing before him, you say, I've decided to